Om Shanti, very good morning. So, good morning and welcome to this morning's special session. We are indeed very, very fortunate to have Dr. Sachin with us this morning again. Having heard his amazing life story, how he almost became a sannyasi. If it had not been her sister who introduced him to the Brahma Kumaris, and in 2003, there and then, with the touching from Baba, introduction of God Himself to him, he surrendered fully. He is a doctor and he's working in the global hospital. And many double foreigners, Dr. Sachin, love your class. They enjoy your class. Why? Because they find your class very entertaining and very interesting. You always have some new perspective to tell us. Not only with the depth of knowledge, you have great churning power, but also together with that, there is humor, and there is also a lot that we can learn from you. So thank you very much for coming. And today he's going to share with us on the topic, becoming an authority of experience in every attainment. Becoming an authority of experience in every attainment. So let us put our hands together to warmly welcome Dr. Sachin. Thank you.
Om Shanti, and good morning. An army was defeated once, and one of the soldiers of that defeated army somehow escaped, and he started running. But the enemy troop was after him. And this young soldier who had escaped, who had a narrow escape, started running hither and thither, seeking some refuge. But he knew that he is alone, and the army is very big, and all those soldiers are after his life. Once captured, he would be killed definitely with a simmering faith in God. Somehow he is rushing, he is running, he is panting, trying to escape. And he finds an old dilapidated house, and he thinks of hiding in that house. So he barges in that house, and it's a big mansion. And in one of the rooms, he hides himself, his heart pounding. He could hear his palpitations, because he knew that at any moment, the army soldiers would come and he would get killed. In that moment of crisis, danger, he has only one hope, and he remembers God, and he says, "Oh my Lord, I trust you. Oh my Lord, I have full faith in you. Please protect me." And with that prayer, he becomes calm. And the very next moment he finds at the entrance of that room, of that mansion, a spider has come. And he says, or rather he wonders, what this spider is going to do. And he internally talks with God and says, Lord, I asked you to protect me. Do you think this spider is going to protect me from guns and bullets? And within few minutes or hours, the enemy troop comes and so many soldiers, and everybody is carrying a gun, searching for this man who has escaped. And he could hear their footstep, and all those soldiers searching him, shouting loudly, search here, search there. And they are ransacking each and every room. And then 3-4 soldiers reached that room. But the spider had already weaved a web on the entrance of that room. And the soldiers think, it's not possible for anybody to go inside without breaking this web. So probably nobody is inside. And they back away. And they don't enter that room and they go away. So this man, this young soldier, he falls to his knees and he shouts, O Lord, I couldn't understand you. Your ways are far our understanding. Your plannings are beyond us. And he starts crying. This is a very touchy, true story of that soldier, which he recounted after having been saved by the Lord. And when he comes back, why I'm telling you this, how God works, his plannings are so subtle that sometimes we don't understand what he's planning for us. And this man, this soldier, after this experience of intense love from God, of God, after this divine love experience, he is no more the same person. He has totally changed, he writes. So each and every one of us, as a Brahmin, we have experienced Baba's love. We have experienced his help at some or other time of our turbulent lives. Life is never the bed of roses, definitely. But we Brahmins, no matter what situations are, we experience that subtle pull, that subtle love, that divine protection of God all the time. So our today's topic is becoming the authority of experience. In relation to all the attainments, you know, the moment we become Brahmin, we get fat. You know what is the meaning of the word fat? F-A-T. Fortune, attainments, treasures. The moment we become Brahmin, we get fortune, attainments or treasures. So these are the three words Baba often uses. Bhagya, Prapti, Khazane. at different places. So attainments are many. So there are three words. One is authority, second experience, and third attainments. What is authority? How it differs from power? Any difference in authority and power? Yes? We say, this person is powerful, he has got power to do that. And we say, this person has got authority to do that. So is there any difference? Or they are used, though they are used interchangeably, but still there is subtle difference in the two words. One is authority, another is power. What is the difference? Yes? Anyone? Anyone? With power we feel pressure. Okay. What about authority? Baba has used both the words many times. He says, you have the power. You are powerful souls. But then sometimes he says, you are authority. For example, a man commits a crime and the entire crowd gathers and the crowd has the power to punish that person by beating or by lynching. So this is power. But a court has got the authority to give legitimate punishment. Crowd doesn't have that authoritative power. So when we say power and when we say authority, authority means legitimacy. Authority means some, what you can say, it has got legal or it has got support from justice. Authority is something higher. Power can be many. Many people can have power, but that doesn't mean that they have got authority. That is one of the meanings of the word authority. And one more, we say somebody's authority on scripture. We don't say he is powerful on or in scriptures. Authority means complete mastery. He is authority on English language. Means he knows the language, the ins and outs, the nuances of the language, the meaning of subtle words. So authority has got two meanings. So that is the one word, becoming an authority. Second is experience. What is the difference between experience and knowledge? Yes? Is there any difference between knowledge and experience? What is that? Experience is practical knowledge. Is it so? Or something better? There are three types of experiences. First hand experience, second hand experience, and third hand experience. First hand experience means, right now you heard the class. That is your first-hand experience. You go from here and you tell some of the points you heard to somebody. That is second-hand. And then some rumor, some hearsays, via, that is third-hand. So, experience means a knowledge where you have got direct involvement or exposure. That is known as experience. Where you are totally involved in it or you have witnessed it and then you are exposed to it. So that is about experience. And experiences are of different types. Psychology defines experience as physical experience, mental experience, that is intellectual, emotional experience, social experience, religious experience, spiritual experiences. Mystics around the world had spiritual experiences. And experiences of spirituality are more or less same. Experiences of spirituality, they transcend all language, all barriers of culture and creed, what mystics of India had those experiences. For example, if we take Saint Meera, whom Baba often quotes, or other saints of India, their internal experiences are more or less similar to those of Saint Francis de Sales and Saint Francis of Assisi. Their experiences are somewhere near to Rumi or Sufi saints or Roman Catholic saints. So somewhere experiences are similar. They are deep mystical experiences. They are beyond all barriers of language, nationality, caste, creed, culture. So, experience means direct exposure. Experience means you have gone through that situation. It is no more the practical thing for you, but you know the ins and outs of it. And the third word, attainments. And the better word, as I say, FAT, fact, fortune is a better word. You are very fortunate souls who have got lot of attainments and who have achieved, who have got lot of treasures from God. So in today's class, we will discuss about how to become an authority of experience. Because once you experience something, you don't forget. Theory, one forgets. But practical things, they remain in our consciousness for a long time. We don't forget them. Is it possible to make spirituality a natural experience? Is it possible to make love of God a natural experience? Is it possible to have soul conscious stage as natural nature? And the answer from God is yes, it is possible. So, we have to become. There are two more words, embodiment and image. These are the often used words in Murli. You have to become an embodiment of experience or image of experience. But today we will discuss how to become authority on experience. Of what? Of each and every attainments. The moment we are born, automatically we have got everything from Baba. Only thing is that how much I have filled my consciousness with those attainments. So we'll see about 21 different types of attainments and how to become authority of experience in each one of those 21 different attainments. Attainments are unnumbered. We will see few of them. And Baba has often said this in many of the Murlis. Try to remember your attainments. Try to remember what you have got. Rather than making a list of things what you do not have, have the list of those things which you have got from Father. And seek Him and His treasures first, and all the things of the world would get added to it. Bible has got a very powerful statement by Jesus Christ, where He says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto it." All the things of the world will get added. Once you seek what God is giving you, what God's attainments are. So we will start 21 different attainments of Brahmin life, and how to become, you can say, embodiment or image or something higher is authority. What is the first attainment of Brahmin life? First prapti, knowledge. Definitely, gyan. Knowledge is the first attainment of this Brahmin life. But when I say knowledge, that doesn't mean simply listening Murli or writing down points or relating Murli or knowing about cycle or knowing about descent of God on earth and knowing about who I am, from where I am, what I have to do, this is okay. But this is still information. This is still information. The real knowledge is always experience. The real knowledge is always deep experience. When I know fully that this is this, there is no doubt about it anymore. So if one wants to become an authority of experience, of knowledge, what is needed is deep churning of each and every point of knowledge. Deep understanding of Baba's knowledge. And we'll take up today's Murli, morning's Avyakta Murli. Baba mentioned about avatar. You know what is avatar? What are they? They are incarnations. So what picture comes in front of my eyes when I say incarnation? That is knowledge. The entire Murli is there. You are this, you are this, you are this, you are that. But how to experience that? Yes, I am that incarnation. In one Avyakta Murli, Baba said, in the world when one incarnation comes, there is a revolution in the world. Just one incarnation. Just one messenger of God. There is a revolution. You all are incarnations. So if you all descend on the earth, what revolution will take place? So we are those who would bring about revolutions. So I was telling, in today's Murli, Baba said, you all are incarnations. There are 9 points about this in today's Murli. And we will try to experience all those 9 points. How? We will do a simple drill. So I will ask few brothers and sisters to come on the stage. And I will tell you what you have to do. So the first I will tell you what are those 9 points about incarnation. There are no 1 or 2 points written anywhere. Baba doesn't speak in terms of points. He just speaks. It's we who have to decide. First paragraph, second paragraph, comma here and full stop there. He has his own language. So when I say that I am incarnation, the first thing Baba said in today's Murli, incarnation means who has got angelic body. Incarnation means who has angelic body. And who is avyakt, unmanifest, in this manifest body. This is the first point. Incarnation and avatar means who behaves as if he is an angel. He has got an angelic body. The Murli starts from there only. Baba remains above sound. He has come to take us beyond sound. He is avyakta. He has come in this vyakta world to make us avyakta. So the first point is avatar means angel. Two, an avatar means who is free from all karmic bondages. To do the work but remain detached. To be in the world but not in the world. Attachment, karmic. We are not attached to karmas. Our karmas gradually start becoming neutral. In one of Avyakta Murli, whilst talking with Manmohini Didi, Baba had said and defined what is karmatit stage. Karmatit stage means when karma, actions and its result do not touch you. The simplest definition of karmatit means it doesn't mean to die and to go and become something. No. Whilst we are here, for example, You'll go in the Murli class, you listen Murli and come out. You go and take your breakfast and come out. Then you go and do some seva, you come out. Then you go in the field and do some service there and come out. And then sit in meditation and then come out and then start explaining knowledge to somebody. Doing all the works, but in a very detached manner. Inside there is a detachment. Nothing is touching. This stage is known as karmatit, where karma and its action both do not touch us. So that is a very beautiful definition. Action and fruit do not touch the soul. So an avatar means first an angelic body. Avatar means second somebody who is unattached to karma. Third, an avatar means who has descended from above. Avatar means who has descended from above. He has come in this body to do elevated tasks. To have the consciousness all the time that I have descended. I have come just now. Once you get up, the first thought should be, I have just now come from my home into this sakar world. When you sit in Murli, imagine or visualize that right now I have descended from the Paramdham to listen to Murli. While you go out for your work, your seva, your duty, with that thought that I have descended to do this work. So the avatar is somebody who has descended, who has come down from above. Fourth, avatar is somebody who is messenger of God. He has a message to deliver. He has a message to deliver. If you study all the avatars of the world, the so-called avatars, whether Christian philosophy or Indian philosophy, all this, they are shown like Krishna and Rama and all those are shown as avatar. They always remember who they are. They always know that they have come for a mission, for a task. So they don't get attached to anybody. And they know that we have come to deliver a message. And my task is to deliver a message. You know, when Saint Xavier came to India for the first time, he had a message in his mind that I have to spread the message of Christ in India. And he was the first person who landed in India. And he had to suffer a lot, but with his unflinching faith, he could do that. And the Christianity spread in India. So all these philosophers or religious people or saints or religious founders or great men, they all had a mission always with them. And they were never forgetful of that mission. Baba says, you are avatar. You are the real avatar. And your mission is to spread God's knowledge across the world. When our dadis, for example, Dadi Janki, when she was told that she has to go out of India to deliver the message, what thought she must be having? Just one thought, that I have to do Baba's service, nothing else. There is a book written on Dadi Janki, I don't know how many of you have read. A Century of Service. How many of you have read that book? Century of Service. Very good book written on Dadi Janki. It's available in the Global Shop. In that book, the author, in the introduction, had written a very beautiful line about Dadi. The author said, Liz Hodgkinson, she wrote that. So she wrote, if an unlettered woman like Dadi Janki, who doesn't know English, if a woman from India like Dadi Janki can make a permanent home in London, well then everything is possible. There's hardly anything impossible in the world. If this lady can go in the foreign land and place like London, she can make a permanent home in this world, nothing could be impossible. That is the introduction she has written. Two lines. So, an avatara, has a mission to fulfill. Fifth, an incarnation is somebody who has given both things, body and soul, to Baba. The body is no more mine. Otherwise it will be dishonesty. This body is not for indulgence. This body is not for self-indulgence. But this body is for tapasya. But this body is for service. And that's why, how do we carry out this body is very important. In one Avyakta Murli, there is a very important point to note down. Baba said, if one Brahmin soul is falling sick again and again, if a Brahmin soul is falling sick, physically ill, again and again, Baba says he is not a yogi or jnani child. This is a statement by Bab Dada. In one of the Murlis, if you are falling sick again and again, probably you are not understanding how to cope with this body, how to handle this body, and if you cannot handle this body, you think you will be capable of handling the kingdom. A very bold statement by Baba in one of the Murlis. So, the fifth point about incarnation is, an incarnation is somebody who has given body as well as soul to God. This body is yours, this soul is yours. So there are two extremes. Mind is never at one place. We go to extremes like pendulum. You know, sometimes to self-indulgence, sometimes too much restrained like Hatha Yogi. Our mind has a tendency to go like this, like this. To make the mind stable at one point. You know, in one of the... there was a Roman Catholic saint, Francis de Sales. When he was about to leave his body, he said a very beautiful statement. He said, "Oh my body," he is talking with his body. And he said, "Oh my body, forgive me. For I tortured you a lot, by a lot of fasting and this and that. But now I am dying and now I realize that it's because of you I could worship the Lord. Oh my body," he is talking with his body, "forgive me for whatever I did with you. And now I realize how important you are." In last Sunday's Murli, when Baba talked about four combined form, the first combined form was soul and body. So know the importance. This is a very invaluable body. Just imagine when we fall sick. Just one day sick with cough, cold. What is the quality of Amrit Vela? It suffers. And there is abdominal pain and there is now which is quite going on. Lot of bowel movements. It is difficult. So, to keep the body fit is our responsibility. Just imagine if a Brahmin soul is falling sick, how much resources get wasted or utilized. Jagdish Bhai used to say that I don't want any resources of this yajna to be wasted upon me. So we have to maintain our health in that manner. So the sixth point is, the fifth is, everything is His. Sixth is, unlimited consciousness of I. An avatar means unlimited consciousness of I. Not the limited consciousness of I. My family, my brother, my sister, and all this. Unlimited consciousness. The whole world is mine. When we have that unlimited consciousness, we are avatar. The moment we come to limited consciousness, we are no more avatar. So that is sixth. Seventh, an avatar means, an incarnation means, who doesn't create any waste account here. Who will not create new accounts here. otherwise new friendships and new bonds and new attachments. You must remember that this is 4-in-1. Brahma Kumaris is 4-in-1. One, it's a family. Second, it's an organization. Third, it's sacrificial fire, yajna. And fourth, university or college or school. But when I say it's family, remember this is divine family, God's family, alaukik family, spiritual family, ruhani family. It is not that laukik family. So in this family, there should not be familiarity and there should not be personal attachments and personal relationships between brothers and sisters or brothers and brothers and sisters and sisters. This is a divine family. So those laukikta should not be brought here. Otherwise, we fall down from the highest principles and codes of conduct. There should be a very dignified detachment. Jagdish Bhai used to give example of two ants going together. Two different paths and going together. They don't interfere in each other's lives. But they go lovingly with each other. Like two vehicles are going together. Like that, all Brahmins should go with love and with detachment. So, seventh is, do not create wasteful accounts. Avatar means, who doesn't create wasteful account. Eighth, an avatar means, who has got faith and intoxication. Nishche and Nasha. About being world benefactor, about being an elevated incarnated soul, avatarit atma, Srishta avatarit atma. That is the intoxication. And the last, ninth, an incarnation means, who knows that I have to go back. I don't have to stay here. You know, one American tourist came to India and one sannyasi met him, and the sannyasi asked him, where is your luggage and where are your belongings? He says, I have not brought any luggage. I have just come for moving around. I don't have any luggage. I am foreigner. And then that sannyasi takes him to his hut. And the foreigner asks, where is your luggage? Because that hut is almost as vacant as it can be. And the sadhu says, I am also a foreigner. Just as you are foreigner, I am also foreigner. I do not belong to this world. So an avatar means, who knows that I have come here for temporary trying. And my aim is to go back, return back to Godhead, return back to my home. So these are the nine things about an avatar. So now we will sit in meditation. And I would like few sisters to come on this side and two, three brothers to come on this side. And I will tell what they have to do so that you can remember this Murli forever. Anybody? Brother? Any brother? Anybody? And we saw nine things about the angel, about an avatar. So the first brother, just raise your hand. First brother, a meditation music will be played and you have to act as if you are an angel. That is the first point of an avatar. Avatar means who is an angel, who is an angelic body. So music will be played and all of you will imagine yourself also while looking at these brothers and these sisters that you are also filled with that intoxication. That the first point of avatar is he is an angel. Second, come on this, stand here. The second brother, what was our second point about avatar? He has no karmic accounts, unattached to karmas. So your self-respect is, you are not attached to any karma. You are doing all those things, you have to show that you are doing something, sweeping the floor, but unattached. So you have to do a little acting over there. Second brother. Third brother. Third, what was our third point? He has descended from above. So you have to behave as if you have come down from above. One more brother on this side. Anybody? Yeah. The fourth point is, he has come to give a message. So he is a messenger of God. He has only one task, that all souls should meet Baba. So these are the three, four brothers. You can stand on line like this. Red light, please. Now, five sisters from this side. What was our fifth point? Who has given body and soul to Baba? So sister will demonstrate how she has given body and soul to Baba by her acting. Next, what was the sixth point? Unlimited consciousness of I. Any sister? Anybody? Yes, she is coming. So, that sister, sixth point is unlimited consciousness of I. Seventh, what was the seventh point? Who will not create any waste accounts? So sister, you have to show that you will not create any. You can come on this side, in front, all of you. You will not create any waste accounts. Sixth. Then this is seventh. What was the eighth? Anybody for eighth point? What was the eighth point? Faith and intoxication. Anybody? Any sister? Yeah. So you have to show and behave that you are full of intoxication and faith. And what was the last point? You have to go back home. So let's start. All of you sit alert. Soft music will play, and these brothers and sisters, by their silent acting, that is known as pantomime method, they will act whatever soman or whatever self-respect they are given. Start. Red light, please. White light off. Of experience of knowledge. So all brothers and sisters, and whatever self-respect you have been given, now gradually you are as if sitting on the world stage, and start putting into practice the self-respect which you have been given. Anything, whatever you feel like, start doing. Start doing anything. Little acting. The first point of avatara is an angelic body. I am an angel of God. Second, every ordinary work, but I am unattached. Cooking, taking bath, preparing food, serving food, gardening, discussing knowledge, but I am unattached. The third point about incarnation. I have descended on this earth. I do not belong to this world. Always I have that consciousness I have descended. I have a special task, a mission to do. Fourth point, I have to give Baba's message to everyone. And that is the be all and end all of my life. I'll leave no stone unturned. My whole life is a story of giving Baba's knowledge. The fifth point, about incarnation. I have given my everything to Baba. My body, my soul, everything is Baba's. Sixth point, I am no more in that limited consciousness. I live in unlimited consciousness of I. He is mine and I am his. Seventh, I have created a lot of wasteful accounts. Now no more. I cannot create waste. Eighth point, I am full of intoxication and faith that I am world benefactor. That I am an avatar. I have come here for a very elevated task. And the last point, this world doesn't belong to me. I have to go back. Spiritual nostalgia, a divine homesickness. My home is calling me. Baba is signaling me. Oh my child, come back. Now gradually, go back to your places, very slowly. All the 9 points in the intellect. I am the very authority of experience of knowledge. Throughout the day, I move as an avatar who has descended. Who has a mission and who knows this world is not mine. I have to go back to my place, to my home. I am a divine avatar. Om Shanti. So this is the first point, knowledge. So we have to become authority of experience. Whenever you read any Murli, convert that Murli into a drill, convert that Murli into an imagination, convert that Murli into an activity. And when nobody is in their room, your room, you can do all this dancing thing. In one of the Abhyakta Murlis, what Baba said to double foreigners, you know? One of the Murlis, that video has gone viral. Small 2 minutes video. Abhyakta Babdada sitting in Om Shanti Bhavan talking with double foreigners, Baba saying, if you get depressed, go to bathroom and start dancing. Go to bathroom and start dancing. This is what Baba has said once. So converting text into drill. Converting words into pictures. Picturize, colorize, visualize. Now when such a thing is done, that time we become the very embodiment, very image of that knowledge. Now this knowledge has not just remained theory, but it has become something which we are experiencing in a practical way. So first is knowledge. Second is virtues. Yesterday's blessing was on obedience. Few days back there was a virtue of contentment. Baba said it should be written on the forehead. Board of your forehead. So take up one virtue every day and experiment with it. There are four types of bhattis in Brahmin life. You know what are those four bhattis? One is Gyan Bhatti. Second is Yoga Bhatti. Third is Divine Virtues Bhatti. And fourth is Seva Bhatti. These are the four types of bhattis. So the second point is about divine virtues. Take up any one virtue. For example, discipline. For example, obedience. For example, tolerance. Any virtues, and devote one full week to that virtue. And see how I can implement that virtue in my practical life. So when I do that, that time I become the very authority. For example, silence, I will say. When Mahatma Gandhi had gone to London, he did not know how to speak and he was very shy. And they would force him to give a speech. And somehow he has to construct each and every sentence in his brain before he speak out. But he has written a beautiful thing. He said that shyness was my shield. Because silence is a divine virtue. Desire to exaggerate, to modify or suppress the truth, these three things are natural propensity of men. And silence is necessary to surmount it. What we do with truth, we modify it, we exaggerate it or we suppress it. This is the natural tendency. And silence is necessary to suppress, is to overcome this. So silence is a virtue. Take up silence and try to experiment and see what happens. Devote one full day to just listening. Just listening. If there is a meeting, if there is a conversation, I make it an aim that I have to just listen. So second is virtue. Third is powers. The third attainment of Brahmin life is powers. Today morning's blessing, what was it? Baba said yoga and knowledge. Knowledge is light and yoga is might. Use these two powers in adverse situation in time so that you will come pass with honors. In time is important word. So using knowledge or using yoga in adverse situation, in time, during, at proper time. So using powers. We have given unlimited powers by Baba. But the goal is understanding those powers and utilizing it throughout the day. So that we become authority on that power. It is very easy to speak on tolerance. But when somebody insults us, or backbites us, or criticizes or opposes us, that time to remain unflinching, unrattled, undisturbed, is the practical evidence that you have accumulated some power of tolerance within you. Otherwise, it's mere theory and nothing else. So take up one power and experiment with that power throughout the day. Let's see what happens. You know, American author Dale Carnegie, have you heard of him? Once he gave a lecture on Abraham Lincoln And he was quite famous on that because he had done a lot of research and he had even written a book on Abraham Lincoln. And after his lecture, which was broadcast on radio, one lady wrote back a letter to him and she said, "You have given absolutely wrong lecture. All your facts and figures were wrong." And she pointed out a lot of mistakes which he committed. And she also said that you should have thought twice before giving such a lecture on radio. So this Dale Carnegie, he was exasperated. He got so angry. How dare this lady teach me this? She doesn't know anything. I have studied Abraham Lincoln completely. And she is teaching me what to speak and what not to speak. So he writes a very fiery letter to her. A very fiery letter. But it is late night, so he thinks, let me post it tomorrow. I will not post it. It is late night. So next day he thinks, I have written too much. Let me become less bitter. So he writes another letter, a little modified version. But this time the letter is little more bloody and fiery. And he is about to post and he thinks, if one day I postpone, this is the result, let me postpone it for one more day. So then he postponed it for next day. So he does this for 7 days. Every day he postpones the letter and he is very angry with that lady who tried to teach him what to speak and what not. How dare she? And the last letter which he wrote was like this. Dear dash dash, I am very much thankful to you that you taught me this. I never knew that such a thing was there. And he writes a letter full of gratitude to that lady. And the next day that lady comes and they become lifelong friends. This is how he has written. So which virtue he has used? See, this was a virtue, practical use of some virtue. The first letter and the last letter, the hell and heaven difference. So most of the decisions we take in life are impulsive, thoughtless, on the spur of some passion, and we commit mistakes and we repent for the whole life. Wait and watch, have tolerance, have that power to accommodate. So third is powers. Next, attainment is purity. Next is purity. We'll make a group of three. So first three, and now next three, purity. Next, supersensuous bliss or happiness. And third, true peace. These are the three attainments Baba has given us. So check and recheck your celibacy. When I say purity, purity is a very broad definition of purity. But one of the important things about purity is celibacy. When celibacy is broken, all talks of purity and all talks of Brahmin life are gone. The foundation of this Brahmin life is celibacy, unbroken celibacy. That's why I should have only one feeling for all brothers and sisters. To have romantic feelings will lead to downfall for each other. These are souls or these are brothers and sisters. That's it. All other feelings, all other emotions, all other attachments, they lead to downfall. All the sannyasis around the world, all the fathers and nuns and Buddhistic nuns, or bhikshus, bhikshunis, or jain sadhus and sadhvis, why they fell down? Just because of this vice. Spiritual friendships. Everything starts with spiritual friendship and then attachment, and on the top we label it as seva, service, and inside deep attachments, deep bondage, and they start missing each other. And they want each other's support, and then there is a downfall. This is how things have happened everywhere in the world. All the spiritual organizations, the same thing has happened. That's why one has to remain on eternal vigil or alert. One American author had, or president I think, had written, eternal vigilance is the price of freedom. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty. If you want to remain free, remain alert all the time. Because slight fall will lead to attachments. and this body and the soul had remained drowned in lust for a very long time. And now Baba has come and pulled this soul from this ocean of lust and taught principles of purity. So one has to maintain that unbroken celibacy. So keep on reading about it, keep on understanding it, go into the depth of it, so that all the doors of the vices should remain closed. So purity first, second, super sensuous bliss. How fast we get detached from the body, how fast we become bodiless, on that skill or art would depend our super sensuous bliss. If we are so much attracted by the worldly, all the paraphernalia, all the worldly things, probably we will not achieve that super sensuous bliss ever. So for this I will tell just one thing: make Amritvela as strong as possible. There should not be a wink of sleep in the eyes. Very strong. We see in Panda Bhavan so many people, they sit with eyes closed like this. I don't know what experience they must be getting. There was one brother, a comic story, he was sitting in the Shanti Stam and he drooped down totally
like this.
And he was asked, "Brother, what are you doing?" He says, "I am giving Sakash to earth." Giving Sakash to he had no control. Fully down. Somebody is falling on this side and somebody is falling on that side. You know, once there was a mother's bhakti in Panda Bhavan and lot of mothers had come and they all sat in meditation hall for Amrit Vela and Ratan Muni Dadi was conducting meditation and they all were sleeping. So in between Dadi said, "Make the white light," and all of the mothers get up once and now sit and now start yoga. So in order to experience super sensuous bliss, we should have a very strong Amrit Vela. We have to plan, devise that Amrit Vela, getting adequate sleep and adequate food, and then so that we can have powerful Amrit. Some plannings, readings, some discussion, find out what are the bottlenecks, why I am getting sleepy at Amrit Vela. Try to explore those reasons. Okay, so super sensuous bliss, and third is real peace. That is an attainment Baba has given. Peace doesn't mean that you come to Madhuban and slide nicely, you are sitting here and everything is peaceful. It's not peace. Peace is everywhere there is peacelessness and we are peaceful in between. Like a king once ordered, he wanted to see the best picture of peace. So many pictures came, many drawings came, and two were selected. The first picture was of beautiful picture, a ocean, sky, mountain, birds flying, and king thought that is the best picture of peace because everything is so placid, so peaceful, so serene. Such a tranquil beauty you cannot find anywhere. There was another picture of peace, and that picture there was lightning and there were clouds, fierce clouds, and there was a very gushing mountain waterfall, and all the mountains were rugged and there was a wind blowing. So king wondered, is this a picture of peace? And then he saw near that waterfall there is a tree and one bird is sitting there, calm and quiet. There is so much upheaval around, but that bird is quiet. That is the real picture of peace, and that picture was selected for first prize. So real peace means outside peacelessness and yet eternal peace within us. So that is the third attainment. Next three, elevated charitable actions. This is an attainment Baba has given us. I'll narrate you one personal experience. Once I was called to Gansarov to give a class, and I was very busy, and I was informed little late when I was busy in the OPD and I had no time to think of the topic, to churn the topic, and I was about to say no, I don't want to come. But somehow I said no, yes. And I had to speak on drama. There was a class on drama here only in this meditation hall. And by evening I thought, let me call up that brother and say I can't come because I'm not very much prepared. So So I will call up that brother. Then again I thought, oh, let me go. And then even while coming, I was thinking to call up and go back and tell him, no, I'm not coming. Ask somebody else to do. But somehow I reached, and there was a class here on drama. And it was okay. And a few months back, one sister came to me in OPD, and she told I was in such a depression, I was about to go and commit suicide. I was about to go and, because all doors had closed. Life had become hopeless, absolutely. And just about when I was going, I thought, let me listen something. And she heard that drama class. And that stopped her. And she returned back. A new energy was infused. So that was just a short experience. So Baba says, do elevated action, charitable actions. Punya karma. That's a great attainment. And you become the very embodiment. That's why, as far as possible, try to help each and everyone. Go out of your way and help people. Go out of your way and help outsiders, insiders, everyone. Because that's a great attainment, and we become authority of experience after that. So, charitable actions. Next is contentment. And third, duae, blessings. These are the three attainments, very related to each other. Contentment. The more contented we are, we can make others content. Otherwise, we remain dissatisfied, disgruntled within us. Life becomes hopeless. So much disturbance within. So become the authority of this attainment of contentment. Blessing. The more selfless our actions are, the more blessings we get. You know, Dadi Janki says, I often go and see her as a doctor, and she says whenever she is sick, something else keeps on happening to her. So she says, doctor, you give me whatever you want, I will get okay, because I have got blessings of the whole world. I have the stock of that blessing, so whatever medicine you give or don't give, still I will get okay. That's what she claims. Such a powerful, pure claim. So these are the three things. Next three things are God's love. First, second, God's meeting, Prabhu Milan, and third, God's company. As we started this story in the beginning of this class, how that soldier remembered God, oh Lord, save me. And he was disappointed when he saw a spider there. But later on, tears welled up in his eyes. That spider saved him. He never even thought such a thing could happen. So God's ways are beyond us, beyond our mind and memory. What He does for us, what He is planning for us, is stupendous. So, fill the heart with His love, with divine love. One saint said something very good. He said, when I forget that God is my supreme companion, I feel lonely. I feel lonely only when I forget that He is my supreme companion. The loneliness comes in my life. So, His love, His company, and His meeting. These are the three attainments of this Brahmin life. And these three things should happen all the time. It's not that when we go to Shantivan and sit there and meet Baba, His meeting should take place perennially, all the time, incessantly. So these are the three more attainments. Next, blessing. Every day is blessing. Next, self-respect. And third, good wishes and pure feelings. These are the three groups of attainments. So let's have good wishes for each and every soul of this planet Earth. We are not here to condemn anyone. Even the enemy is there. We have good wishes for that enemy also. Just imagine, Avyakta Bab Dada is sitting there in Diamond Hall, and somebody, an opposer, comes and goes in front of Baba and starts shouting at Baba. What will be Baba's response? Love. Because he doesn't know anything other than love. That's why it is said, love is God. Other virtues, purity is God, nobody says. Tolerance is God, nobody says. But love, they say, is equivalent to God. So he has that unlimited visions. You know, in history hall, Baba met so many double foreigners. And each double foreigners, he gave 5-5 minutes. Or Indians also. And many of them left Baba later on. Did not father know that this boy, this child, this sister is going to leave me after some time? But still he had that unlimited good wishes for that brother. Baba knew this child is going to go against me after some time. But he did not say like that. He had that unlimited good wishes even for that person. And whenever somebody abuses or criticizes or opposes, there must be some viewpoint, something happening within, some disturbance. I remember in our OPD, once one of the dialysis patients came and he was so much angry on me. He tore that case paper and he threw all the medications on my table. And he said, I don't want your medications, go away. And he shouted. But I knew his condition of the mind. So I didn't say a single word. Later on he came and apologized and all that. Because he was the only breadwinner, only earning member. And now he has gone on dialysis. His wife is there, his son who is mentally retarded. This is a very difficult situation of his family. And now dialysis has started. Thrice a week dialysis. What money and everything. So he was very disturbed internally. And what he was showing anger on me was actually not an anger on me. But it was the manifestation of his own anger, which was pent up within. So, when such a thing happens, just sit and give good wishes. That's it. Nothing else. The soul will calm down soon. So, good wishes. Then blessing. Every day Baba is giving us blessing. Feel that his hand. One experiment you can do is, whilst you sleep, and the moment you get up in the morning, imagine an imaginary hand of God is coming from the clouds and sky and keeping here like that. How is that? Nice? An imaginary hand is piercing the clouds and sky and kept upon your head like this. And whatever you want, take from him. So blessing. And then self-respect is an attainment. Swaman. Collect self-respect. Baba has given us higher consciousness. He has not told you are this, you are that. You are impure, you are this. No, he has given us something. His way of, he is a master teacher. The way he taught is excellent. By teaching that you will do it, you will do it. He wants us to do it. He doesn't teach many times you have to become angel. But he says you are angel. You are avatar already. Just know it. Just realize it. Just manifest that divinity. So these are the three things. Next three things is Smriti Swaroop. Embodiment of awareness is an attainment. We have to become embodiment of attainments. Or awareness. Smriti Swaroop. To remain in his conscious, that higher consciousness, in his remembrance, is the greatest attainment of this Brahmin life. Worldly people do not know who is God, what is God, when does he come, what does he do. And we know him and we remember him. Is not that the greatest attainment? But now we have to become the very authority of experience. So this remembrance increases the level of that remembrance. The quality of that remembrance, that bond, that intimacy should increase day by day. And one more very subtle thing. When we start sharing things with human beings, more and more about our lives, our sharing with God decreases. If we make somebody our best friend and start sharing with him everything, automatically our sharing with God will decrease. So the more the attachment in the world, the lesser will be attachment with God. So, increase sharing with him. Another is victory. Victory is an attainment we have got. I am including the word victory. To be triumphant is a attainment. Because Baba has already said that whatever you will do, you will become victorious. You have been victorious birth after birth, cycle after cycle. So it's not a new thing for you. You have conquered Maya many times. So it's not a new thing for you. So victory is an attainment, and I have to become the very embodiment of this victory. Then, last 21. Perfection. Last is perfection. I have to become perfect. This desire to achieve a stage which is perfect, this should be burning desire. We have all have that desire to become perfect, to become complete like the Father. But the desire should become intense. In the path of devotion, they say that three things should happen, then you achieve God. Three loves should come together. First, love of a mother for a child. Then, love of a sensual man for body. And third, love of a greedy man for wealth. These three love, when they come together and they get directed towards God, then God comes to you. Otherwise, He will not come. So, this desire for perfection, that I have to become, that should be like a fire within us. That I have to become perfect. I have to go ahead. Baba is wanting me to do this. Baba is expecting me to do that, and I can do it. But that desire is very cold at present. It should assume the form of a fire. Then only we will be able to achieve that goal. It's shown in Bible at one place that Jesus Christ enters synagogue, the temple of Jews, and He finds what people are doing there. Somebody is selling somebody, somebody is practicing gambling, and He becomes violent there for the first time. And He just throws everything here and there, and He makes a very powerful statement. He says, "You have made my house of God into den of thieves." And one more thing, the love for this house of God burns in me like a fire. The love for this house of God should burn in us like a fire. The love to become complete should burn in us like a fire. That should be fire. Otherwise, without that intensity, without that restlessness, without that divine discontent, the goal cannot be achieved. So much restlessness, some subtle, deep spiritual restlessness should be there to achieve the perfection. One of the Jewish saints was once asked, "Define spirituality." And he said, "Spirituality means going ahead and ahead and ahead and ahead. That is spirituality. Don't stop anywhere." Many brothers and sisters come, they say that we came to Madhuban and we saw Brahma Baba here and Brahma Baba there. We saw light here and light there. And they feel they have made a lot of progress. These are just the milestones. You don't have to stop anywhere. And ahead, go ahead, and go ahead. Whatever experiences of spirituality we have, we should think this is nothing. There are a lot of things to be achieved. These are just milestones. The destination is far away. So, these are few of the things we spoke about. Different attainments of this Brahmin life. Three more are remaining. Okay? Specialities. Specialities. We should put our specialities to use in Baba's Yajna, and they will become refined. Those who say that this is my speciality and I will not use it, that speciality will not take growth. You put all your specialities into yajna and the result would be growth. That is one. Second is happiness. Happiness is an attainment. And that is an internal happiness. This happiness has not come from any external thing. And so no external thing has the power to steal it away. Because it is intrinsic. It is coming from within us. So my happiness is within me. And the third thing is, three things in that third thing. Vairag, Tyag and Tapasya. Tyag is renunciation, Vairag is disinterest, and Tapasya is penance, Tapasya. These three are our attainments. So these are in all 21 points total. And these all are attainments of this elevated Brahmin life. And we have to become embodiment or image or a step ahead, authority of experience in each one of these things. And just two things are needed for all this. Silence and solitude. Silence and solitude. Unless and until one goes in deep silence and churns all of these points, that intoxication would not be there. Unless and until one goes in solitude, sit all alone and churn. Take out some time, steal some time from the hectic lifestyle and sit and churn and be all alone with that beloved. One of the French, German philosopher, Meister Eckhart, not this, the one who wrote that book, Power of Now, but the earlier one, Eckhart. Once he was sitting in one forest, all alone, and two of his friends were passing that way. And they thought, he is alone, let us give him company. And they go to him and start speaking, and they say, we have come to give you company. He says, I was in the company of the Supreme, you came and made me lonely. So seek some time every day where we are absolutely isolated, insulated, and within us. And in that moment, take up Murli and churn. In that moment, think that I am Baba's. As in today's Murli, Baba said, teachers, you are godly friends. So he is my friend. I am in his company. Hum Sharik, Hum Jeans. He is my equal. Seva ke Sathi. He is the I am his companion of service. So Baba has given so many soman. This knowledge is so vast, so vast, so vast. And time is very less. And so many things to do. So some spiritual stress should be there, that I have to do it. Some restlessness should be there. Some discontent should be there. I am not happy with the present Purusharth. But it can be made better. And keep on learning from others. In between, I had made one experiment. I kept on asking people, how do you go to sleep? Teach me. What exactly? Don't teach me that half an hour sit in Baba's, remember, read Murli and all that. How you do it? Teach me that. And heard from many people how they go to sleep. So that the way we go to sleep, if it is powerful, the way we get up from sleep would be powerful. And then the Amritvela would be powerful. So keep on learning from each other. So these are overall total 21 different attainments, and we have to become authority of experience in each and every one of these attainments. Om Shanti.